Now you know, my friends, that this week, this parasha is going to be Parshas Ekev. So I want to give you a little bit of a four, so to speak, for Parshas Ekev. Okay then? Now, one of the mitzvahs in Parshas Ekev is Kriyat Shema, which is, of course, the second chapter of Kriyat Shema. So we started, if you remember, yesterday in Vayeschanan, with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, V'ahavta Hashem Elokech, the first parsha. And V'hayim Shemoa parsha will come up this coming Shabbos in Parshas Ekev. Now, as you know, the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is a daily mitzvah that applies twice daily, Shachris V'arvis. And we are basically fulfilling what we call the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, declaring our love for God, our commitment to God. It's Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. We accept upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, the commitment to observe God's will. And the Gemara in Masechta Brachos makes such a big deal about Kriyat Shema, how important it is, and specifically the sequence of first reciting Parsha number 1, which is from Vayeschanan, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and then, and only then, the second Parsha from Ekev, of V'hayim Shemoa. So Gemara says, Lama Kadma Parsha Shema L'V'hayim Shemoa, why this sequence? Because first, Kadeshi Kabal Olav Ol Malchu Shamayim Tchila Ve'achkach Mekabal Olav Ol Mitzvos, which means the following. If a king comes to town, to one of his villages in his province, and the people come out to greet the king, they cannot ask for precepts and mandates. First, they have to accept upon themselves the sovereign nature of the king. That's called Kabbalas Ol Malchu Shamayim. So the king will say to them, first I want to see that you express and proclaim your commitment to accept me as your king. And once you do that, now you'll ask me, well, what specific content, what's the substance of that commitment? What do you actually have to do to fulfill my will? Then the king goes ahead and gives you the various commands and the mandates of the mitzvah. So Hashem says, first, you have to accept upon yourself, Hashem Echad, you accept upon yourself God as your sovereign ruler. That's called Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. And then secondly, V'hayim Shema. And now we get into the specifics of Kabbalas O Mitzvahs. And we're ready for the mandates and the mitzvahs to fulfill the will of God. Now, we would be mistaken if we assumed that this parasha, Parshas Ekev, is all about Kriyat Shema. If we would identify the main primary mitzvah of Ekev as Kriyat Shema, we would be making a mistake. Because let's read the parasha, the second parasha of Kriyat Shema, which is incorporated in Parshas Ekev. V'ayoyim shamoa tishmuel mitzvosai, asher nochi mitzaveschem ayom, li'avos Hashem alekechem. And here the key words, ula'avdo bechol levavchem. Let's translate that literally. And you shall serve your God with all your heart. The emphasis here is what we call avodah shebelev. So the Gemara in the beginning of Masechta Tainis asks, what does that mean to serve God b'chol levavchem? This is high profile in the second parash of Kriyat Shema in Ekev. What does it mean? Li'avdo b'chol levavchem. And this, the Gemara says, is the source for the mitzvah of tefillah, of prayer. Minolan b'tefillah. What's the source, the Gemara asks, for the mitzvah of tefillah? And the Gemara answers with a brisa, la'avos Hashem Elokeichem uli avdo b'chol levavchem, ezohi avodo shehi b'lev. When the Torah talks about serving God with your heart, what is service of the heart? Hevi omer, says the Gemara, zu tefillah, this is prayer. Uksiv basrei, and then the pasuk goes on to tell us the reward for prayer is v'nasati mitar atzachem bi'ito yirel makosh, the rains will fall from the heavens and you'll have plenty of produce. There'll be enough support to sustain you. And why? Because you have fulfilled the Avdo Bechol Levavchem. You have served your God with your heart. And what is service of the heart? The Gemara identifies service of the heart as tefillah, as prayer. Now here, we have to ask a kash on the Rambam. You know, any good shir always has to begin with a shver Rambam. Rabbi Lebel, am I right? A shver Rambam. Here's a shver Rambam. The Rambam, when he codifies the mitzvah of tefillah at the beginning of Sefer Ava, you know, the Rambam authored 14 books, one of which is called Ava, and he has an entire section with many, many chapters called tefillah. He quotes a source for the mitzvah of tefillah, as he always does. Whenever the Rambam starts a new mitzvah, he'll always tell you where it's written in the Torah. And guess what? He completely overlooks Parshas Ekev, Liavdo Bechol Levavchem, and instead he quotes Parshas Mishpatim in Sefer Shmos. And there the Torah says, not Vavadatem es Hashem Bechol Levavchem, but there the Torah says, Vavadatem es Hashem Elokeichem, and you should serve the Lord your God. And the pasuk goes on to say, that Uberich es Lach Bechos Meimecha, Vasirosi Machlo Mikirbecha, God promises to bestow all the goods, all the great rewards. Then, Mitzvah Aseh L'Spal B'Chol Yom Shenev Avadetem Es Hashem Elokeichem. Oh, now, is the Rambam totally oblivious to the Gemara in Tainus that derives the mitzvah of tefillah from Parshas Ekev, where it says, V'ya'ulavdo B'chol Levavchem? The answer is no. The Rambam is aware of that Gemara, but it comes in from the back door, so to speak. It comes in a secondary role. Primarily, the source for the mitzvah of tefillah, says the Rambam, is Vavadetem es Hashem Elokeichem in Parshas Mishpatim. However, the Rambam says that in Parshas Mishpatim it says, you shall serve your God, Vavadetem. Okay, serve my God. What does that mean? Says the Rambam, Mipi Shmuel Lomdu, meaning Chazal in Torah Shabbat Peh, learn Shavoda Zuhi Tfila, that this Avoda of Yavadatem is Hashem Elokeichem is Tfila. Shenemar, what led the Chachamim in Torah Shabbat Peh to the conclusion that Avoda means Tfila? And the answer is Shenemar Uli Avdo Bechol Levavchem, that you should serve God with your heart. Amru Chachamim Ezi Avoda Shebelev, how do you serve God with your heart? And the answer is tefillah, through prayer. We're going to now ask two questions on the Rava. As we said, we start with the Shver Rava. The first question is obvious. The Gemara clearly indicates that the source for tefillah is Liavda B'chol Levavchem. Instead, the Rambam substitutes V'avadatem as Hashem Elokeichem. And question number two, if the Rambam indeed quotes V'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem as the source for tefillah, then why doesn't the Rambam just... And yet the Rambam says, we don't know what Liavdo B'chol Levavchem really means, because we're not sure what Avoda is. So the Rambam has to quote the pasuk of Liavdo B'chol Levavchem from Parshas Ekev. So why did the Rambam just skip... Why didn't Rambam just skip to the chase, as we say, cut to the chase? Instead of saying that the source is Vavadetem es Hashem Elokeichem, he should have said Liavdo B'chol Levavchem. Because the Rambam says Liavdo B'chol Levavchem means Avodah Shebelev is tefillah. So we have two questions. Number one, why does the Rambam substitute a different pasuk for the source? And number two, why does the Rambam quote the source that the Gemara quotes, and yet he feels that that's only going to come in at the end, you know, sort of in a secondary position? Why didn't he go straight and quote that pasuk, Liavdo B'chol Levavchem? So the answer to this is offered by none other than the Kesef Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Cairo, in his super commentary on the Rambam. Says the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam was bothered by the following. If you read Parshas Ekev, it opens up V'haya im Shamoah. The Torah is using a language in which it's describing what's going to happen if the people of Israel live up to their calling, to their responsibility. Number one, Shamar Tishmol Mitzvosai. Number two, Lavas Hashem Elkechem. Number three, Liavdo B'chol Avavchem. Then, if they've reached this level, the Torah promises them, V'nasati Mitaretzachem Vito. But what's missing in Parshas Ekev? A command. There's no command. The Torah never utilizes the what we call the Lashon Tzivui. Hence, this could not be a source for the mitzvah of tefillah. In contrast, if you turn back to Parshas Mishpatim in Shmos, it says Va'avaretem es Hashem Elokeichem. That language of Va'avaretem is in the Tzivui, is in the command. This could be a source for a mitzvah, for a mandate. On the other hand, the Rambam has a problem. Because how do we know what Va'avaretem is? When God commands us to serve Him, I can think of 612 additional methods of serving God. Who says it's tefillah? And for that I need the pasuk li'avdo b'chol avavchem, the pasuk in Parshas Ekev, ezi tefillah, ezi avodah shebelev zui tefillah. So basically, according to Guest of Mishnah, the Rambam has a beautiful integration of two sources, and we need both sources, because each one of these two sources alone, independently, could not do the job. If we only had the pasuk la'avdo b'chol avavchem, we would not derive a mandate. If we only had the pasuk v'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem, we would not be able to identify that mandate as tefillah. But when we put the two psukim together, we derive the avodah shebelev. And the avodah shebelev is tefillah. Again, you could always ask, well, what about the other 612 mitzvahs? They also could be described as avodah shebelev. And the answer is that all the other 612 mitzvahs are what we call avodah shebemaseh. They obligate us in a certain action, whereas lev means some sort of an emotional state of being that's unique to tefillah. And Yeshayahu Anavi, which you'll see here on the bottom of the middle column, for those who like to follow a text, I always like to give a text for those who enjoy following a text or want to take this home. Vayomer Ado, and then he says Adoni, Yan kinigash ha'om hazeh b'fiv u'b'svasav kibduri, v'libo rachok mimeni. He says that the people, this is Yeshayahu Anovi castigating the Jewish people, they come forward, b'piv u'b'svasav, and they're giving ki'ilu honor to God in with lip service, but libo rachok, where's the lev? But to hear Rosam Osi Mitzvah Anoshim Limuda, their fear of God is only a matter of robotic, mechanical observance. This is not lev. So now we see very, very clearly that when Yeshayahu Anavi is addressing the case of tefillah, and God is sort of scoffing and rejecting the tefillah, which is not heartfelt, he uses the terminology bepivu v'sfas of kibduni, although they're giving me lots of lip service, but libo rachak meni. We see clearly that the lev is related to tefillah, to prayer. Liavdo b'chol avavchem therefore means avodah shebelev zui tefillah. And the question is, the Gemara puts tefillah on the highest level. There's a pasuk in Tilling. The pasuk says, "Krum zlus lebnei Adam." Doesn't mean a thing. It's totally ambiguous. Now, one thing I can tell you, bnei Adam means people. That much I know. Zlus is miloshen zilzul. Instead of taking something seriously, we take it with a laid-back attitude. That's called zlus. But what's kirum? What is that referring to? So the Gemara says that you take the chaf, put it on the side, and you take the word rum. Rum means something that's lofty, something that's high, on the highest level. And what the pasuk is saying is that something, X, we'll see what this X is rum, it's on the highest level, and zlus l'bnei Adam. Nevertheless, people don't take it seriously. They have a, shall I say, a backhanded or almost a cynical attitude towards that thing that's really rum, that really belongs to Rumo Shalolam. It's on the highest level. Elu Says the Gemara, what's this? Tvarim shomdu beruva shalola b'nei adam mezalzul behem. And the Gemara says that that's tefillah, that's prayer. The Gemara identifies kirum, the highest level is tefillah. But people are not aware of the significance of tefillah. They may pray three times a day, but they do it mechanically, as we saw before in Yeshayahu HaNavi. Where is the fulfillment of, as Eicha says, it's shivchi kamayim libeich nochach p'nei Hashem, that we should pour out our hearts kemayim? But instead, it's mitzvas anoshim milimuda, we do it perfunctorily. So we see that tefillah is something that we don't take seriously. It really is the avodah shebelev, it's the paramount avodah shebelev. And it's the personification of rumo shel dvarim ha'omdim berumo shel olam. Our tefillah goes all the way up to heavens, and yet we don't take it seriously enough. So if this mitzvah of tefillah, of avodah shebelev, zui tefillahs here in the parsha of Ekev, we should spend a little bit of time. I know we don't have that much time. Maybe we have 45 minutes, you'll tell me when you have to go. To understanding and appreciating what is tefillah, why is tefillah, why is prayer so powerful, so meaningful and significant that it's called Dvarim Ha'omdim Berumo Shel Olam? What's Berumo Shel Olam on the highest, loftiest level of the world? And people yet are zlus, are mezalzel in tefillah. So what we're about to embark upon is a combination of Jewish philosophy, of Musar, of Hasidus, all in one, to try to get a concept of what the meaning, what the significance or the power of tefillah is, and then give ourselves a little bit of a kick in the pants, so to speak, a little bit of a musashmuz as to why we mezalzel in tefillah. We take it for granted, we daven mechanically, we're not aware of its significance. Now, much of what we're going to study today about tefillah and its significance is based on the Arizal, who in turn bases himself on the Zohar, on Rav Shimon bar Yochai. The pasuk describing the creation of man says, "Vayomer Elokim nase Adam." And as we all know, let us make man in the plural. The creation of man is the ultimate purpose of all of creation. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns in the plural, Nasa Adam. And the Zohar explains it in the following way. Now, the Zohar, as you know, is written in Aramaic. We're going to take a look at the Hebrew translation of the Zohar, which, if you're following the text, is on page 2 of the 4 pages that we gave out. The Zohar says the following, and the Arizal is going to try to explain the Zohar. Achrei sheshlimu avodasam kol uman v'uman. Every sector of the creation and its process, by uman v'uman, by professional artisans, has been completed. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God now turns to the created universe. He's about to create man. And he says, Umnus achas yesh li lasos, shetehe b'shituf shel kulam. God addresses the universe. The universe without man. Nase Adam. Let us create man. Hischabru kulchem. All of you should unite and join together. Yachad. Lasos bo kol echad v'echad michelek shalom. Each segment of the universe is going to contribute its part to the creation of man. Vani, and God says, Ani eshtatefi machem. I will join together with you. And I will contribute my chelik. That's Nasa Adam b'tzalmenu kidmusenu. Pirshu Rabbanon she'ein Adam el Yisrael. The word Nasa Adam is a symbolic allusion to man, to Klal Yisrael, to the people of Israel. Says the Arizal, man is a microcosm. He contains within him all the worlds. And all those worlds include not just the physical material universe of carbon, but it includes also the celestial spheres of Malachim. Says the Arizal, this philosophical perception of man as the microcosm of the entire universe, including the celestial spheres, has an ethical component to it, an ethical repercussion. The entire universe, says the Arizal, depends upon man. If man dedicates himself to Torah, to Maisim Tovim, he misaken its atzmo, he perfects himself, then he takes with him the entire universe. Hareyu misaken gamis kol chelke abriya. All of the parts of the creation that are included within man are elevated by man. But if, heaven forbid, umekalkel, if he ruins it, and instead of fulfilling his commitment to God and his master of the universe, instead he violates the will of God, then he should know that he is taking down with him all of the parts of creation. And therefore, says the Arizal, Yispalalu Olav, we're going to come back to this point over and over again, the parts of the universe, everything that makes up the universe, will pray on behalf of man, hoping and dreaming about man's success. If man will successfully live up to his commitment, to his responsibility to serve Hashem, then they, all the parts of the universe which are included in man, will be uplifted. They will be given life. They will be sustained. And the Arizal goes into great, how shall I say, embellishment or dramatic detail about the different levels that man can reach, he can achieve, he can attain if he's on the right path, and how he uplifts together with him the entire universe. But the opposite is true. Says the Ari, that's why according to the Zohar, God addresses Nase Adam in the language of the grammatical plural, because he wants to get everybody involved. Not only the Pamalia Shalmala, but also the Tachtonim, the lower elements in creation. Everyone should contribute something to man. And the one who picks up on this Ari and dedicates almost an entire work to this concept of the Ari is none other than Reb Chaim Volozhin, the great disciple of the Vilna Gaon, in his magnum opus called Nefesh HaChaim, a philosophical work, most of which goes beyond our comprehension. But what we can understand is that based on this Zohar and the Arizal, Reb Chaim Volozhin comes to the conclusion that there's a tremendous weight of responsibility placed on the shoulders of man, to such an extent that man himself becomes a godlike figure. What does that mean, man is a godlike figure? There are many names of God. The name of Elohim is the name that indicates creation. In the parsha of creation, Bereishis Aleph, you'll see only the name Elohim. What does Elohim mean? Says Reb Chaim, Elohim means Baal HaYecholes. Elohim means that God has all the powers. He's omnipotent. He's so omnipotent that He could create the entire universe. And everything that exists within the universe is dependent upon Him for its sustenance. So God sustains the entire universe. That's called Baal HaYecholes, Baal HaKochos Kulam. That is Elohim. But now, and here's the big revolution, man himself becomes godlike. He also is called a Baal HaYecholes, because it was the will of God that all of the universe should be included in man. And man, insofar as he embodies and personifies the entire universe, he controls the universe. He's going to decide whether to fulfill the will of God and the Avodas Hashem, and then inject into the universe a creative power, a creative force to sustain the universe, or, heaven forbid, the opposite. And therefore you'll see in a paragraph here in the middle of page 2, Vehine, that he writes that man himself is me'ein, he's like an image of Baal HaKochos Kulam, Sharia Adam, who Merkaz Abriya, man stands in the hub of creation, Ubo, and in man, totally everything depends, the status of, and the ideal Shlemus of everything in all the different worlds, both the worlds down here and the worlds up there in the celestial spheres. If man will serve Hashem and he will behave properly, that's a tikkun on the entire Bria, on all of creation. If he goes the other way, it's a kilkul, and the entire creation as a result of man's chet will go down, down, and sink to the bottom. So Vayivra Elokim es Ha'adam Mitzalmo, when man is endowed with Tzelem Elokim, the image of God, just like God Elokim, again, because it says Tzelem Elokim, God as Elokim is the Baal HaKochos Kulam, he is the source of all the powers, he sustains all of what exists in the universe. So too, man is given that Tzelem Elokim, he's similar to God, he also can open the doors for what we call Shefa. Shefa means, you know, the benevolent flow of God and godliness and life as a life and a life-giving force, or, heaven forbid, he can close that door. The entire universe, therefore, is desperately dependent upon man. If man will do a tikkun, then the entire universe will be uplifted and will be granted existence and life. And therefore, everything depends upon man. This perhaps is the deeper meaning of the Medrash. On a pasuk in Koheles, it says, "Re'es Ma'is Elokim ki mi yochol esaken es asher avaso." And the Medrash comments, "B'shasha bara Kadosh Baruch Hu saw the Marisho notlo v'zero al kol ilone gan eidem v'yomlo re'ei ma'asai kamenoyim mishubachem heim v'chol ma'ase barasi b'shvil chabarasi." Look at my beautiful creations, and man is given a tour of all the globe, and then he's told that everything that was created was for you. Kol Asher Barasi Bishvil Chabarasi Tein Datcha Shelo Tekalkel V'Tachrives Olami. You better be very careful. And unfortunately, man was not so careful, and Adam HaRishon rebelled and violated the very first command on the very day of his creation. Uli Adam Omar, and God turns to man in the aftermath of that sin, and he says, "Ki shamata l'kol," etc., and you ate from the Eitz Hadas. Arura ha'adama bavurcha. The entire globe has changed now. You have devastated the entire universe, and now it's arura ha'adama bavurcha kots v'dardar tatzmiach. The earth will not produce its beautiful produce the way it was meant to be. And all this is because you have brought down the world from a higher level to a lower level. Now, up until this point, we are following in the footsteps of Reb Chaim Volozhin, who's following in the footsteps of the Ari, who is codifying the halacha of the Zohar. But now we take a little bit of a digression, so to speak. And now we go into more Hasidic thought, which is pretty heavy mysticism, but we'll understand it on our level. You know what I'm saying? On a very superficial level. But that's what we have to do, because we're interpreting Midrashim. Midrashim have to be understood. And the Midrash tells us that Breishis Bara Elokim es Hashamayim ves Haaretz, God created the universe, but how? Was there a blueprint? My wife is a designer. She cannot design a house and tell you where the kitchen is going to be or what it's going to look like until she makes plans. Where are the plans for the creation of the universe? So the answer is in the word Bereishis, because the Medrash says that the word Bereishis is a secret code word for the Torah itself. The Torah is called Reishis. So the Kliyum Naso, the plan, the architectural plan for the universe is the Torah itself. That's the Kliyum Naso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person builds something, he doesn't just build it because he decided, he has to have plans. Those are called diftaros and pinkisos. These are documents and ledgers in which he etches the entire picture of what he's going to create. Says the Medrash, Kach HaYakadosh Baruch Hu Mabit B'Torah U'Borei Asa'olam. God looks into the Torah and he creates the world. And that's Bereishis Bara Elokim. The Torah itself is the blueprint for creation. Now, how many letters are there in the Torah? Well, how many letters are there in the alphabet? Each one is going to be representative of a kind of a kli, a kind of a model or a plan for creation. And the answer is 22 letters. There are 22 letters. According to the Torah of Chassidut, and already even before Chassidut, Rav Shimshon Shapiro in his Megala Amukos, he lived about 5 centuries ago. He lived almost 2 centuries before the Baal Shem. And he writes that the Torah is made up of the 22 letters of the alphabet. Ukshenivra ha'adam, man was created from the 22 letters of the Torah. And what do these 22 letters represent? They are tzinoros. So if you're looking now on the bottom of page 2, you want to underline 3 lines from the bottom of the word tzinoros. Again, this is a very heavy Hasidic concept in which the concept of Shefa, of all the blessing of creation and the energy force of creation that comes from on high, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who comes down to this world through 22 different channels or pipelines. Hayardim Leolam. And that's what it means. The Pasuk in Bereishis says, Becha Yevarech Yisrael. Becha, if you take the Beis and the Chaf, that's 22. Every single letter of the Torah is another pipeline, so to speak, through which the Shefa, the benevolence coming from above, is flowing down to give life to this world. And man is created from these 22 letters of the Torah. And if you take a look on page 3, he says that the 22 letters of the Torah correspond to the 22 tzinoros, these pipelines. And every one of the letters of the Torah is a different tzinor, and from that the Shefa comes down, Becha Yevarech Yisrael. Another Hasidic source, and again we're really going fast-forwarding into history, you know, we're not in the 5 centuries ago, now we're 2.5 centuries ago, even less, is Rebbe Lemelech Milozhinsk in the Noam Elimelech, and he quotes the Mezritcha Magid, who is the absolute first disciple of Baal Shem Tov. And he tells us that the word kaviyachal, when we describe God, is made up of really of 2 words. It's the chaf beis and then yachal. The chaf beis represents the 22 tzinoros of the shefa. And yachal means that God is considered the bala yacholis. He can take these 22 pipelines and he could bestow upon the earth a shefa to keep the earth going. When God thought to create the world, lahativ lebrua, in order to bestow goodness on His creations, tzimtzem HaKadosh Baruch Hu atzmo, ulehechan tzimtzem es atzmo. How could God, in a sense, constrict Himself or withdraw in a way that now He can bring down the shefa to this world? And the answer is He withdrew into 22 letters of the Torah, which represent and correspond to 22 pipelines through which the Shefa will come down from the Almighty into this world. And therefore, he says, Hatzadik, if a person is righteous, Ha'osek v'Torah l'shma, and he's dedicated to the study of Torah for the sake of the Torah itself, he really continues through his learning of the 22 letters of the Torah to bring down that Shefa from above through the 22 pipelines which parallel the 22 letters of the Torah. Now, again, up until this point, we're talking about the significance of Torah, but as I told you, our lecture today is on the significance of tefillah, of prayer. So now we're at a crossroads in this presentation. Until now, we've established two basic principles. Principle number one is that man is a microcosm of the universe. The entire universe depends upon man. If man is successful in living up to his commitment, he upgrades or uplifts the entire universe with him. And principle number two is that how does God Shefa bring down the blessing from above in order to inject life, a life energy force in everything in creation? It's through the 22 tzinoros, which parallel the 22 letters of the Torah. And when a tzaddik is dedicated to the study of Torah, what he does is he allows for an extra power, an extra force to bring down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Shefa through the osios of the Torah, which parallel the 22 pipelines, the tzinoros. And now we get to our topic for today, and that is tefillah. How many letters can we use in order to pray to Hashem? Well, it's going to be the same number, namely what? 22. It's going to be the 22 letters of the alphabet, of Lashon Kodesh. That's the maximum number of letters we could use to pray to Hashem. But what are we accomplishing when we pray to Hashem? And the answer is, it's Lahachios Olamos. We're now on page 3, bottom right column. Lahachios Olamos. Every single creature has to receive a life force from above, a Shefa, in a very individual way. And that's going to be tefillah. That's going to be the power of prayer. It's not enough that this Torah, but it also requires tefillah. And what we want to study is the mutual function here, the two contributions, that of Torah and that of tefillah, and how different they are one from the other. Mashal amai dover doma, lemelech tov, baal chesed, shirotzel chalik, lebnei minidosu mikol tu, umevakei shekol echad yovo imakelim shalo. Interesting. The king has a desire to give out great gifts, wonderful food and sustenance, but he requires of every citizen to bring one of his utensils in order to receive that great bracha from Hashem. This, as we'll soon see, is going to remind us of Elisha with the Shunamis, that she has to come with her own utensils, her vessels, in order to receive the bracha. You remember the shemen, the oil that pours. And where do we see this in the story of creation? God creates Siach HaSodeh. He creates the potential for vegetation. But the Pasuk describes the world as being desolate and barren. Kol Esav HaSodeh Terem Yitzmach. Nothing is growing. How is it that God created a world and it has the potential to produce and nothing is growing? And the Pasuk says, Ki lo himtir Hashem Elokim al ha'aretz, because the rains have not yet fallen from the heavens. And then the Pasuk says, Vi adam ayin la avodes adam. Man has not yet been created. Until the creation of man, the earth is not going to produce. So Rashi asks the following question. The Pasuk says, Lo himtir Hashem Elokim al ha'aretz, that the rains do not come down. Why is God preventing the rains from coming down? So Rashi says, My time lo himtir lefisha adam ayin lavaras adam veino makir b'tovason shel gishamim. Man is not on the earth to recognize the significance of rain. When man comes and he recognizes that we need rain, yispalel aleihem, he will pray for them, the yeridu, and then the rains will fall down. It's clear from Rashi that even though God created a world during the 6 days of creation, he utilized the 22 names, or I should say letters, of the Torah, yet, if man has not been created, then there won't be any produce, because man has to come to do what? To pray. Prayer is going to be the vehicle call it the agent or the catalyst that's going to bring the rains down from Shamayim, so that even though the earth has been created with all its segments of creation through the Chaf Beis Osios, but nevertheless, there's no rain coming down. And why not? Because man is not there to pray. We'll see this in the writings of the Ben Ish Chai, who is the great of Iraq and Jewry. And he says that, why is it that we need tefillah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodeach Yisarin Adam Yosef Masha Adam. Why do we need prayer? I'm going to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tell him, these are my needs. What, God himself does not perceive my needs? He needs me to pray, to spell out my needs? Lama Yitzarech L'spar. And the answer is because the Shefa needs tzinoros. And perhaps these tzinoros have already been created with the 22 letters, but we also need kelim. And just like we saw in the Mashal, the Medrash, each individual has to come with his vessel to receive that great bounty, that great gift of God. What creates those kelim, those vessels? Says the Ben Ish Chai, it's the osios of tefillah. The osios of Torah may work in a general sense to create the potential, but the actual, the vessels that have to be used to receive the Shefa, those are created by the osios of tefillah. So we see a fundamental difference between Torah and tefillah. The 22 letters of the Torah could create the structure, the potential, the tzinoros, but yet the Shefa is going to have to come down to each individual, and on that level, we need, the precondition is going to be tefillah. Is zeu dover shatzorech adam la'avio mi'atzmo? A person has to bring these kelim on his own. When a poor person comes and he wants to receive from the Beit HaTavshil, you know, a certain food, he brings his kelim and they dish it out onto his food. So too, says the Ben Ish Chai, Shefa, Shemekabel Adam Ekadosh Baruch Hu, that's like tzedakah. God is giving tzedakah to each and every one of us when he gives us the food that we have to eat or any other method of sustenance. But we have to come with that kelim. We have to come like the Ani with his utensil, his vessel, asking to put the food in his vessel. I'm reminded of my kindergarten. I remember the mothers of our classmates used to come and volunteer to give out the food. But we had to stand on line and bring the kelim, bring the vessels. Now, when the ani, the poor person, comes with his kli, he has to find favor in the eyes of the balad bayit who's giving out the tzedakah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'hoya terem yikrov ani ene. Sometimes God is willing to be very compassionate and give out the sustenance even before the tefillah. But that's the exception to the rule. The real rule is that the chef is only going to be dished out, is only going to be divided out when the people themselves come with their kelim. And what is their kelim? What is the vessel by which I come in front of the Almighty and I ask Him to give me what I need? It's going to be the dibur of tefillah. It's the tefillah that gives us the preparation of these vessels. And therefore, man must pray in order to create this whole system of Shefa. Now here we have a very fascinating Gemara, which the Ben Ish Chai tries to embellish, in Masechta Shabbos. Rava finds Rav Hamnuna, one of his colleagues, Marich B'Tfilah. He is, you know, long, davening what you and I might call a longer Shmon Esrei. And he says to him, well, why aren't you learning Torah? Torah is Chaye Olam Haba. It's eternal. And instead you're dedicating yourself to Tefillah. Tefillah is Chaye Shah. It's for this moment. So the Gemara tries to protect and defend Rav Hamnun against this attack of Rav. The Gemara says that Rav Hamnun's opinion was Tefillah L'chud. There's a time for prayer. Uzman Torah L'chud. There's a time for Torah. So there's a time for tefillah and a time for Torah. And there's no, you know, there's no competition. It's not like one is robbing from the other. Rava says, Menichem Chaye Olam. Because he understands that the Torah, which is made up of the 22 letters, is really what brings down the Shefa and injects life and energy, life force into the universe. And then you're Oskim B'Chaye Shah and tefillah. Tefillah is something that's very personal, that's very private, but Torah is so much more bombastic, it's so much more meaningful and significant. It encompasses the entire universe by creating the 22 sinoros. So what was Rav Hebnuna's idea? His opinion was, Zman tefillah l'chud u'zman Torah l'chud. What he meant was that Zman Torah is enough with the 22 letters of the Torah to bring down the Shefa in a general sense for the world. But now every individual has to come forward with his own kli, with his own vessel. Like we saw in the Pasuk, Ki lo himtir Hashem elokim al ha'aretz, says Rashi, because Adam wasn't created to come forward to be mispalel on behalf of the rains. So although on a general sense the structure, the framework of the 22 pipelines of Shefa has been established, has been created by Torah, by the 22 letters of the Torah, but we need something more. In order for the mechanism to operate, we need a Zman Tefillah. Zman Tefillah is to bring down the Shefa Biprat in a very individual way, in order to achieve through the 22 letters of Tefillah of prayer, the Kalim and the vessels that will be used by each and every one of us to receive the gift, the Shef of Hashem. And that's an individual. It's not enough on the klal level to have Torah. We need on a very detailed individual level tefillah, and the tefillah is going to, through its 22 letters, create those vessels to receive the Shefa from above. And we begin now to appreciate how the entire universe is dependent upon man. Remember, we started with the Yesod that we saw in the Medrash and in the Zohar and the Ari, that Nasa Adam, God created man as a microcosm of the universe. All of the universe depends upon man. Man encompasses with him the entire created world. And now, the created world is totally, totally dependent upon man. If man will succeed, he will uplift the entire universe. This is what Avodas HaTefillah is all about. We spoke about the fact that Avodas HaTefillah is Me'advarim HaOmdim Berumo Shel Olam. It's on the highest, loftiest level. Why? Because through Tefillah, man generates through the 22 letters of the Tefillah a life force, a shefa for every individual member of the created world. If on the other hand, man, chas v'shalom, is pogem, he doesn't dedicate himself to the will of God, let's say for example he doesn't learn Torah the way he should, then he's creating some sort of a blemish in the 22 letters of the Torah. That's going to have an impact on the framework and the tzinoros themselves as they bring down the shefa. But in the case of tefillah, if man is not dedicated properly to tefillah, then the bracha of Becha Yivarech Yisrael, that God will bring down the blessing to Klal Yisrael through Becha, the 22 letters of tefillah, that's going to be completely undermined. And if you take a look at the last paragraph on page 3, we don't have that much time, but I want to get to page 4 to wrap it all up. He says that Hashem Yisbar Tovu Meitiv L'Royim L'Tovim Me'ito Nishpa Li'olam Kol Tov. All good comes through God, and God is the source of all this Shefa. But he says there's going to be a Bezdin. A Bezdin means some sort of a jury and a decision in the courts as to whether or not all this Shefa, all this good, benevolent, wonderful sustenance is going to come down from Shemayim, the rains and the produce that's going to sustain man, and there's going to be a judgment on this. And he says, Hakol lefi hamakavlim, everything depends upon each individual who wants to receive the Shefa of Kol Tov. And this is what we call Schar V'Onesh, reward and punishment. There's a Bezdin that's in charge of this Shefa, of decide how much through the Tzinoros, how much Shefa should come down to man. Will he be rich? Will he be poor? Never. Will he have all the good bounty of life? And that depends upon the judgment of this Bezdin who mamunim al Shefa. If they decide that man is living up, he's a tzaddik, he's committed, and he's fulfilling his commitment, then everything is going to flow, the Shefa is going to come down. Why? Because now we have a clear cut 22 letters, the Osios. If, on the other hand, something is not working properly and there's a kilkul in tzinoros v'misakev hashefa, if man is not living up to his commitment, then we only have one fallback position, and that's tefillah. That's where the osios, the 22 letters of tefillah, shalamavukash, of the person who's in desperate need of his requests. Hine osios hatzinoros shel shefahu hamavukash nitkenu al yidei tefillah. Here's where tefillah has a tremendous power, that if everything fails, then tefillah is reliable. And we see this in so many different ways. Take, for example, vidui, when we recite our confession over sins. And once again, we utilize all the 22 letters of the alphabet, Hashamnu, Pagamnu, Gazalnu. That's a tefillah in which we say to God, Pagamnu, we sinned. And the whole system of Shefa is now going to be undermined. It's going to be blemished. It's not going to function mechanically properly because the tzinoros can't function. But we come forward with the Hashamnu Bagadnu, and with these 22 letters, the same 22 letters that God created the world and bring down the Shefa, we're able to fix up all the mistakes. And in that sense, bring down the Shefa. And here we get to the punchline of our entire presentation for today. Tefillah, prayer, divides up into two. There's private prayer, and then there's something called public prayer, which means the Shliach Tzibur, he represents the entire community. And his tefillos really take with them, so to speak, all the tefillos of the Kahal, of the Eda, of the people in the congregation. That's called the Shliach Tzibur, otherwise known as the Shatz. What we're going to learn here is that man is endowed with the ability, the great gift of tefillah. But what kind of tefillah? It's the tefillah of the Shliach Tzibur. He represents the entire Tzibur. The pasuk says, "Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adam afar min Adama vayipach biaplav nishmas chayim vayhi Adam lenefesh chaya." God blows a neshama, a soul, into man. Man is created from the earth, and God contributes the soul. And then the pasuk says, "Vayehi ha'adam lenefesh chaya." What does that mean? Man becomes a nefesh chaya. First of all, we have to understand what is vayipach bi'apav nishmas chayim. Says the Targum of Unkelus, ruach memalala, the power of speech, the soul that God blows into man's body, gives man, endows him with the power of speech. Rashi says that although the animals also are called nefesh chaya, but they don't have the power of speech. There it doesn't say vayipach bi'apav nishmas chayim. Only man has the power of speech. And the power of speech represents dea, man's intelligence. So now the question is, if all the animals and the rest of the universe, all the living creatures are not endowed with the power of speech, if the power of speech is necessary for the tefillah, for the prayer that's going to endow life, that's going to bring down the Shefa, what will bring down the Shefa for the entire universe? How will all the Nivroim, everything created, how will they gain from the Shefa coming down through the 22 tzinoros? And the answer is, that's the responsibility placed by Almighty God onto the shoulders of man. Man is the Shliach Tzibur. The rest of the Tzibur, they're inanimate, they're not able, they don't have the power of speech, and they're not able to express themselves in prayer. We, man, becomes the Shliach Tzibur, l'spalel, to pray, because on behalf of Kol Chelkei Abriya HaKluim Bo, a candidate, a valid candidate to be the Shliach. A Shliach is only if he's part of a greater whole. The answer is, he's part of a greater whole, because every other individual part of the universe is included in man. Ha'adam yesh betocho kol chelkei abriya, as we saw in the Arizal. When he's mispalel, when he pours out his heart in front of God, his tefillah joins together and integrates all the chelkei abriya, all the parts of the universe. And he becomes the creator of the universe through the 22 letters of the tefillah. He brings down the Shefa, that life force, to everything that exists in this world. And if that be the case, then man is similar to God. Just like God, we said Elohim is Hakol Yecholet. He's the Baal Yecholet Kulo. Everything. He's omnipotent. All of life comes through God. So too man can play that role. His tefillah, if he plays the role of a Shliach Tzibur, he represents all of the universe. He's going to effectuate that all of the Shefa is going to come through the 22 Tzinoros, those channels and those pipelines from Elokus, from the ultimate level of godliness down to this world to sustain this world. Ha'adam hu ashliach tzivu shel kol habria kula. What a beautiful phrase that man is endowed with the status and the responsibility of serving as the shliach tzivu of the entire universe. Leo's peh, he's the mouthpiece, the mamlitz, he speaks on behalf like a defense attorney through his tefillah in front of the King of Kings in order to create for everything in the universe the 22 tzinoros of Shefa through the 22 letters of tefillah. And therefore, we understand why tefillah is called Dvarim Ha'omdim Berumo Shel Olam, on the highest, loftiest level that unfortunately B'nai Adam is Zalzalim Bo. We don't appreciate the significance of tefillah and what an impact it has and how the entire universe is dependent upon our tefillahs. And David HaMelech in Tehillim says, Halleluka, Halu Es Hashem Min HaShamayim, Halu Bamaromim, etc., etc. It means man who contains within him and encompasses the entire creation. When he recites Shiros V'Tishpachos Hashem, he is giving all of the universe this power of Shira, of song. And therefore in David HaMelech's beautiful songs, when the universe is singing, it's all through the mouthpiece of man. Man has the singing, the Perek Shira, which endows the entire universe and uplifts them to the level of Shira, of Shiros V'Tishpachos. And now we have a new light on the pasuk in Parshas Ekev, Uli Avdo B'chol Avavchem, Sei Chazal, Ezi Avodah Shi B'Lev HaViyomer Zu Tefillah. The lev, why is the lev singled out as the one organ in the body that represents tefillah, prayer? And the answer is, because it's the heart that gives sustenance to all the limbs of the body. It pumps blood that gives life to kol chelkei haguf. And that's what the lev means in the case of avodah shebelev. Our tefillah is like the lev, and it gives forward a burst of energy and sustains the entire universe and all chelkei habria. That's the avodah shebelev. We have to appreciate what avodah shebelev and tefillah is all about. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given man the ability through his tefillah to completely sustain and uplift the entire universe with him. That tefillah with kavanas alev, if we put in our intention of the heart, we are creating 22 letters, 22 pipelines for the Shefa that's going to breathe life and existence into the entire world. And that's the greatness of tefillah. We'll just end with the last paragraph, in which he summarizes all the points of this lecture. He says, man is a shliach tzibur. He represents all the parts of the universe that are included within him. We have to begin to understand that we need tefillah on a daily basis, because just like God recreates the world on a daily basis, mechadish b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh breishis, so too, we, in our tefillos, are also fulfilling mechadish b'tuvah b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh breishis. We are also creating the 22 letters of the tzinoros through which the Shefa could come down. And this is going to, of course, find favor in the eyes of God, because God really wants chesed. The true will of God is identified with bestowing, with giving. How can we, so to speak, in inverted commas, help God achieve His goal of bestowing chesed, of shefa rav tov? And the answer is, we pray, and through our prayers, we effectuate or activate, if you will, the 22 letters of the tefillah, and that's going to inject a force into the universe, as we are the shluchei tzibur, and we are going to be able to bring the tov, the shefa from on high down to all of this, every single segment of the universe. We are now helping the fulfillment of ki chafetz chesed hu, and for that, Amir Tzashem will be zocha to great reward from heaven, fulfilling our responsibility of li'avdo b'chol levavchem. My prayer and my blessing to all of you and to myself is that we somehow appreciate the power that's inherent in tefillah to uplift the entire universe with us. And if we appreciate that, it's going to be Baruma Shal Olam. We'll never chas v'sholom take a laid-back position of zilzul towards tefillah. We'll appreciate its great power. And it makes us into creators, just like Hashem Kaviyachol, and the whole world, the whole universe depends upon us. Let's live up to that calling. Ken Yiratzon. Amen.
Can I make an announcement? Please remember this week.